Our gospel this first Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. There's something about wilderness experiences, and there's something about this moment that we are invited to witness through our gospel reading today that just really seems to resonate. At least for me. I'll be honest, when I think about stories that I am drawn to in Scripture, stories that I feel I can really understand, this one is one that comes to mind. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan tempts him, pushes him to his limits, makes him question who he is and why he is here. But I really think that a part of the reason I find that I am drawn to this passage, and maybe some of you are as well, is how temptation and doubt are personified in the person of Satan. But Satan's position as tempter-in-chief, the one that would draw us away from God, isn't his full purpose here. He isn't just tempting Jesus, he's challenging him, he's pushing him. Satan is actually forcing Jesus to own who he is, but also where his allegiance lies. In fact, as Satan pokes and prods at Jesus, inviting Jesus to rely on himself rather than God, to make a deal with the devil, for lack of better terms, Jesus quotes some of the oldest instruction in Scripture to further profess his faith in God and his trust in who God the Father has formed Jesus to be. But for those of us who face temptation in some variety or another every day, to have some concrete representative of temptation, I feel it really draws us in. But then there's Jesus. And from almost the very beginning, it seems that he wants nothing to do with this temptation business. Sure, he's the Son of God, but he's also very human. And yet it's reported that every test that Satan sets before him, every chance to take advantage or prove his power, is denied as Christ once again returns his focus and his reliance on God the Father. And yet the more he does so, the more clear his identity continues to become. Now, notice in our gospel this morning, twice the devil tempts Jesus with the following clause: "If you are the Son of God." If you are the Son of God. The temptation for Jesus isn't the reward that he might get. The temptation for Jesus is to prove who he is, to prove that he is the Messiah that the people have been looking for. But he's not that kind of Messiah. Jesus isn't the conquering hero. He isn't the one who will use his power to further his own glory while also restoring the glory of Israel. He is a Messiah. He is the Son of God, but he's not the Son of God that the world expects. And Satan isn't the only one who will attempt to force Jesus to be what the world expects instead of what God has set before him in his ministry. I'm beginning to think, though, that this identity question isn't just a question for Jesus. It's a question for us as well. Jesus was being tempted to prove that he had power, that he was indeed God's Son. But for us, the identity temptation is a little bit different. For us, temptation comes when we begin to think that maybe we aren't children of God. We're liable to rely on ourselves and our own power instead of trusting in God and God's provision when we stop thinking of ourselves as those who are blessed by God. Because if our salvation, if our daily bread is in some ways up to us, then how we respond is different than if we know that we have a God who loves and protects us. And what you may have noticed in our readings today is our gospel text isn't our only text that takes place in the wilderness. The book of Deuteronomy is presented to us as Moses' final speech to the Israelites before they cross over the Jordan into the promised land. They are at the edge of the wilderness where they have just concluded about 40 years of wandering. And Moses reminds them that God has been providing for them all of these past 40 years. And in the portion of the speech we hear from Moses today, Moses is reminding them that everything that they have received has been provided by the Lord God. Not because of their faithfulness, because they really weren't overly faithful, but because God promised to provide for the people and bring them to the promised land generations before. The story of the Israelites in the wilderness reminds us that God's faithfulness is not reliant on what we do. God's faithfulness is only reliant on God. And because God is faithful, we are all given daily bread. Now, Christ knows that his daily bread is provided by God the Father. Christ knows that all that he is, the path that he is on, the people that he will touch, has been determined by God the Father. And for that reason, Christ is faithful. He trusts that the Father provides. And he trusts that he does not need to become the type of the Messiah that the people expected, because he was the type of Messiah that God expected. So that raises a question for us. Do we need to prove who we are? Do we need to prove that we are worth loving? Or are we simply loved for who we are? In some ways, it seems like a bit of an infinite loop, doesn't it? Are we acting in a way that pleases God so that we might be saved? Or do we act in a way that pleases God because we are saved? Slightly different perspective. And I hope our gospel today begins to illuminate the difference for us. Christ had power. Christ could change things. But he didn't rely on the power for his own sake. We don't really have much power. And yet, we rely on the same God to see us through. In the same manner, the Israelites in the wilderness were powerless to survive their journey without the presence of the Lord God among them. But God did lead them. God provided for them despite their grumblings and their disobedience. They weren't perfect. Neither do we have to be perfect. But we are invited to know and to recognize that who we are and what we are given in life by the grace of God is given to us regardless of our faults. So who are we called to be? Whose are we called to be? We are called to be children of God, to exist in the grace that God has given us. Not because we're perfect, not because we've earned it, but through God's grace, we too are able to walk in the wilderness. Through God's grace, we are children of God regardless of the temptation that we sometimes give into. We are God's children. And through Jesus Christ, the rules of the game have changed. The expectations of our world have changed. May we live each day in eager response to the love that we have received through Christ our Lord. For we are all children of God, and God's grace is given to us to share with all the world. For through the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts, all the world may yet know this truth, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.